darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite,
delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be His ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III, and I am joined by the full J-Squared contingent. Mr. Jason Tross on my right, Mr. Jeff Reed on my left, Marty Sparks in the screening room. As you know, he starts to let the sparks fly. He told me a joke earlier, it's hilarious. I won't repeat it now. I just thought about it when I said your name. Well, good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on the program today. As most of you are making your way from your part-time jobs to your full-time jobs, let me remind you that when you punch out is when you really punch in. What am I talking about? When you leave whatever you do to generate an income for your families, I refer to that as your part-time jobs because it is just that, part-time. But what you are in serving your family is full-time. We are full-time husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, etc. That is who we are full-time. And I just want to encourage you to resist the trend of the culture to focus primarily, if not exclusively, on climbing the corporate ladder or making your way in the world, only to neglect your family. Too many times, whether it be people who are business folks, those who are in ministry of various sorts, all too often you find them expressing regret at not investing sufficiently in their families. In fact, the crisis that we see that has resulted in the cultural shift, I have a story in my stack. I don't know if I'll get to it today or not, but a church, First United Methodist Church in Omaha, Nebraska. The middle schoolers, the junior high students, refused to express their membership in the church because they were protesting the United Methodist denomination's decision to adhere to biblical orthodoxy concerning sexuality and identity. In fact, these teeny boppers said they found the church's stance, that is, adhering to biblical teaching for human sexuality and identity, as being immoral. Yes, this is what they said. They had the unmitigated temerity to post it on the church's Facebook page, that they refused to join a church or to express their membership or commitment to a church that, as they said it, is insensitive to the pain of the LGBTQIA plus people in the country. They said it would send the wrong message. Now, we can say that came from the deficiencies in education, which would be true. Or should I say this, the miseducation, that would be true. We can also say that it came from the influences of media and all of these other areas. But you know what we also should include in that? What's going on at home? Because you see, it is not the school's job to disciple our children. It is not even the church's job to disciple our children. That's the parents' job. With the father serving as the head of the family, leading out in evangelism and discipleship, and the parents engaged in fortifying the family. So what I'm saying is, if we really want to see the Lord pour out his spirit in our country, to see repentance break out in our country, it's got to start in the homes. You know, the Bible says that judgment begins at the house of God. Well, the church is not a building. A building is just that, a building. The church is people. The most fundamental component of the Lord's church is the family, which is why I say repeatedly, if we want to see the nation reformed and revived, we need to see our families reformed and revived. Praise God. And to that end, a good tool that would be able to help you in that is the 2019 Marriage, Family, and Life Conference, sponsored by the American Family Association, Hope Church in Tupelo, Mississippi, and Urban Family Communications. The whole purpose of the conference is to do exactly that, to equip the body of Christ to engage in the issues of the day, including fortifying the family to effectively disciple and to cultivate our homes as sanctuaries of the Lord's presence. You don't want to miss out. UrbanFamilyTalk.com is where you need to register. There's still time to register, and I'd love to meet you there, see you there. A host of speakers there, a bevy of information is available to you at the website, UrbanFamilyTalk.com. and I'd love to see you there. Now, with that, we're going to turn to today, First Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, four verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the love chapter. But we're going to talk about some things that precede Paul's conversation as carried on by the Spirit of God through Paul about love, some particular things there. And I'll just tell you, it's going to cross-reference with Exodus chapter 28, but we'll get to that in a moment. I'm going to read these first verses in the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. Here we go. This is the Lord speaking through Apostle Paul. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Now, in sharing this particular or discussing these verses, I've shared before that the Apostle Paul, in communicating to this Corinthian audience, is actually building from his knowledge of the requirements that the Lord gave to Moses for the priest's garment. And you find that in Exodus chapter 28. I'll just read these two verses, verses 33 and 34. This is where God gave Moses the instruction for how the Israelite priests were supposed to have their garments arrayed. And look at these verses. Verse 33, on its hem, this is at the hem of the priestly garment, you shall make pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet yarns around its hem with bells of gold between them, a golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate around the hem of the robe. So what you see here is referring to the Lord's instruction for the priest's garment, that every priest, these are the people that God ordained in the Levitical order to serve as the intermediary, the go-between between God and man, to represent God to man and the one who would offer sacrifices on behalf of the Lord's people. Interlinearly woven around the hem of the priest's garment, the base of his garment, was a bell or cymbal interlinearly dispersed with pomegranate. You had bell, pomegranate, all the way around the base of the priest's garment. What that represented in this Old Testament imagery that Paul is drawing from is that the bell was representative of gifts or talents and abilities. Paul wrote in other places that the gifts of God are given without repentance. These are the innate abilities God gives to every human being. However, for the priests, it was not sufficient to have gifts, to have abilities, to have talents. Those gifts represented by the cymbals or the bells were to be buffered by the pomegranate. The pomegranate was crafted by woven blue and purple yarn. So the pomegranate between each of the bells served as a buffer for the bells. Now, fast forwarding into the New Testament context that Paul is discussing this within, Paul is literally explaining to the Corinthians that if you have all of these gifts and abilities, but you do not have the pomegranate represented the character. The pomegranate is a fruit. You might even say the fruit of the Spirit, if you will. The pomegranate represented the heart condition that was meant to be a counterbalance or a counterweight for the gift. Now, why is Paul talking about it this way? Paul is explaining you could have numerous gifts and abilities, but if you do not have the character to sustain those abilities, you are not offering a sweet aroma of worship unto the Lord. You're just making a bunch of noise. You see, if you remove the pomegranate from between the bells around the priest's garment, you are left with nothing but the bells to clang against one another. This is why the Apostle Paul says, if in verse 1 of chapter 13, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Just making noise, clanging up against one another. Clang-a-lang-a-lang, shang-a-lang-a-lang. Now, our culture, we look at people, dare I say, from the outside, and we see, oh, man, look at Brother Jason. He's so gifted. Oh, my goodness. Certainly, this brother must be the one we place at the head of the line. This is the one we have to put at the front of the row. This is the one we need to see. Think about how Samuel was even looking at David's brothers when he came to anoint a king. And he saw Eliab and the brothers. Oh, look at the tall, young, strong man like Stedman. Looking all good. Certainly, this is the one to depict. And the Lord had to tell Samuel, hold up, partner. The Lord is not like man. The Lord doesn't look on the outside. The Lord doesn't merely examine the external abilities. The Lord looks at the heart. And Paul is literally drawing from that as he's preparing to delve into the love chapter, which is instructive for you and I. In our day and time, we have people who are enamored by ability, enamored by charisma, enamored by external demonstrations of ability. When the Lord gives us keen warning, you probably shouldn't allow people's gifts to enamor you. You probably shouldn't allow people's external charisma to enamor you. As members of the Lord's bride, we should examine pomegranates. As members of the Lord's bride, we should seek to have ever-increasing pomegranates, not allowing the clanging to be the things that absorbs our attention, that grabs our focus, that we spend all of our time globbing onto. Because what you don't realize, one of the things that the enemy likes to do is to get people who are gifted, who are charismatic, who have horrible character, and elevate them quickly. This is why the Hebrew writer said, articulated, we ought to lay hands on no man suddenly. That doesn't mean you don't rush to go quick to go pray for somebody. It means you don't elevate people to positions of authority prematurely. Why? Because someone who very well may be gifted, but if they are immature, elevated prematurely, not only are they a potential danger for all who are around them, but it also endangers themselves. Because a neophyte who is gifted but immature is easily puffed up in pride. And so what the enemy likes to do is get that neophyte puffed up in pride and elevated prematurely and wait until it's maximally effective to cause that neophyte to fall. Man, God is so good. He loves us so much, he will not allow us to continue on with deficient character. But what happens when we as human beings elevate people prematurely, you see people tumble down, you see them fall, and then people all around, their faith is shaken. Oh, how did brother so-and-so fall like that? How did that happen to sister so-and-so? And what often happens is that we've elevated people based on the clinging of their symbols with no concern whatsoever for the quality of the pomegranate. We and the Lord's bride need to recalibrate ourselves to where the thing that draws our attention is character, not gifts. The thing that draws our attention is when people who are the same in private as they are in public. One of the greatest blessings I've enjoyed in my life is my spiritual father, my pastor in New Orleans, who allowed me to spend time with him in his home. How many people's pastors allowed members of their church to visit them in their home? Where I was able to see up close and personal, man, this is not a show. My pastor lives this. He is the same way on the pulpit as he is in his house. Spend time with his wife. Spend time with his family. And I was able to see up close and personal. And be candid with you, this lesson that we're even talking about right now came from my pastor. He taught this to me. He would say to me, Abraham, I don't care how gifted you are. If you have a defective pomegranate, it may be hidden from everybody else except the Lord. Then the question then becomes, whose opinion do you value, God's or people's? What does it benefit you for everybody in the world to think good of you when you know the Lord knows you're rotten at the core? And he would tell me, make sure your pomegranate always, always overwhelms your gifts and abilities. Even in the piano, the instrument that is perfectly tuned with the chords in the piano. But in order for the note to strike the right note, the hammer in the piano has to be buffered by the coating on the mallet. If you have a hammer without the coating on the mallet, you're going to just get rink, 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 noises that are grating to the ears. But when that mallet is perfect, is coated properly, and when that mallet strikes that chord, it causes a sweet sound to emanate from that stringed instrument. Brothers and sisters, let us not be people that are known merely for clanging cymbals, sounding gongs, having abilities and giftings, but our character is deficient. Let us reverse that and understand that our character must overwhelm our gifts, because that is the only way we'll be able to sustain with longevity in the Lord's vineyard.
No more double standard. Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. We have good news from Ohio. A school district has ended discrimination against a high school student-led Bible study and a Christian club. Both clubs are now allowed to start meeting again. In 2017, the clubs were canceled. The students were told they couldn't meet as an official school club. Turns out there was a major double standard. The same school district permitted other student-led clubs like the Gay Straight Alliance, an environmental club, a fashion club, and a vegan club. The school's decision was totally unconstitutional. So Liberty Council sent a letter to the school demanding equal access. After receiving the letter, the school board voted unanimously to allow the Christian student-led clubs. They made the right decision. The law is crystal clear that public schools cannot discriminate against the Christian viewpoint of student-led clubs. Stay informed at Liberty Council's website at lc.org.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Doc, I've been feeling a little out of sorts lately. Can you help?
Well, let's try a few questions. What do you think of when I say the word Roku?
Oh, my wife and I used to love that dance when we were younger.
Yes, I'd say you're a little out of touch.
What do you recommend?
I recommend you listen to AFR.
American Family Radio. Available on Apple and Android products, Amazon Alexa, and now available on Roku.
And then we'd whip, and then we'd nay-nay. Oh, it was wonderful.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. I'm inviting you to an AFA-AFR Town Hall event in Marion, Illinois on Thursday, May 9. I'll be there sharing some vivid examples of men who stood in the gap down through history. Ed Vitagliano will share with us why he's still optimistic about the future of America. Wesley Wildman will emcee the whole thing, and the bride of my youth will be along to make sure we all behave. I'll have plenty of copies of my new The Boy to Man book for sale at a special town hall discount, and I'd be happy to sign one for you. With graduations to middle school and junior high school just around the corner, it might make a great gift to the father of a 12-year-old son that you know. Go to afa.net/Marion for all the details. I hope to see you there.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
What you may not hear is the first and foremost hero, as far as I'm concerned, and his name is Riley Howell. He was probably the second fatality in this incident. His family, as you might imagine, is traumatized. They're devastated. But when I spoke to the father, one father to another, I told him personally, I wish I had words. What I did tell him is we're committed to the work. We're going to get to the bottom of it. We assured him we're going to find out the why. We're going to give them closure. But his son, seeing exactly what was going on, did exactly what we train people to do. You're either going to run, you're going to hide and shield, or you're going to take the fight to the assailant. Having no place to run and hide, he did the last. But for his work, the assailant may not have been disarmed. Unfortunately, he gave his life in the process. But his sacrifice saved lives.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here in American Family Radio. That is audio played to follow up on the story that really came to light during the program yesterday that I promised that I would do a little bit of follow-up on, where there was a shooting at the University of North Carolina at Charlottesville yesterday. The shooting resulted in two fatalities, one by a young man by the name of Ellis Parlier, who was 19 years old, and another, a young man by the name of Riley Howell, who is 21 years old. Now, you guys know, here on the Hamilton Corner, we do not discuss the names of these murderers. But as you heard in the audio, that was the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department's chief of police, Mr. Kerr Putney, describing Riley Howell as a hero. Chief Putney promised Mr. Howell's father that he wouldn't go into too much detail publicly concerning what all transpired until the investigation was concluded. But he did want to say publicly what he told Mr. Howell's father privately, that his son was a hero. Having been put into a corner, he took the fight to the assailant. And in the process, he lost his life, and in so doing, saved the lives of many other students at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte. Now, I mean, I can't imagine in one moment having my child go off to college and then only to realize that they're never coming home again. And that is what the Howell family and the Parlier families are experiencing right now. So I heartily want to invite you and ask you to pray for their families and the things that are happening there. In addition to Riley Howell and Ellis Parlier, there were four other students who were also shot yesterday. Thankfully, however, each of those students are expected to make full recoveries. So thanks to Riley Howell's sacrifice, the death toll was much lower than it could have been. And the assailant was apprehended on the scene as well, thanks to the courageous actions right on the spot of Riley Howell. So I as promised, I wanted to offer that follow-up to you all based on the story and the news that broke during the show yesterday at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte. Now, in addition to that, getting to some of the foolishness du jour. And I just have to tell you guys, I didn't even really feel like talking about this because it's so blatantly obvious what's going on. But I feel duty bound to talk about it just to kind of provide a grid to navigate this information. So many of you have heard last night, the Washington Post leaked a letter that apparently Bob Mueller sent to Attorney General William Barr after William Barr released the four-page conclusions from the Mueller report, but prior to the release of the full Mueller report. Well, this has resulted in some people, many of them, most of them, not most, all of them, of the regressive ilk, demanding that A.G. Barr resign immediately because he's hiding evidence. And that is concealing information from the public. It is such a ludicrous assertion. But before I dig into it a little bit, Ted Cruz did a great job of diagnosing what's going on. And once you understand this framework, you're going to end, like I did, saying, okay, now why are we talking about this? Listen to Ted Cruz in clip number two.
So their argument is as follows, and let me see if I understand it correctly. You initially, when you received the Mueller report, released to Congress and the public a four-page
summary. Wait, pause
it,
Jane, and we have to start it over. Let me say this. I meant to say this is as a result of William Barr. A.G. William Barr testified before the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee this morning. And this exchange, and I have several other clips from this hearing, came from William Barr's testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee this morning. Now we can start the Ted Cruz clip.
So their argument is as follows, and let me see if I understand it correctly. You initially, when you received the Mueller report, released to Congress and the public a four-page summary of the conclusions. Then, on March 27th, Mr. Mueller asked you to release an additional 19 pages, the introduction and summary that he had drafted. And indeed, in the letter, what he says is, quote, I am requesting that you provide these materials to Congress and authorize their public release at this time. And the reason, he says, is that to fully capture the context, nature, and substance of the office's work and conclusion. So you did not release those 19 pages at that time. Instead, a couple of weeks later, you released 448 pages the entire report, which includes those 19 pages. Do I have that timeline correct?
That's right.
So their entire argument is, General Barr, you suppressed the 19 pages that are entirely public, that we have, that we can read, that they know every word of it, and their complaint is it was delayed a few weeks. And that was because of your decision not to release the report piecemeal, but rather to release the entire 448 pages produced by the special counsel.
Yes.
If that is their argument, I have to say that is an exceptionally weak argument. Because if you're hiding something, I'll tell you right now, General Barr, you're doing a very lousy job of hiding it. Because the thing that they're suggesting you hid, you released.
The thing that they're suggesting you hid, you released. So why are we talking about this? I'm going to answer my own question. But this is a combination of infuriating and exhausting all at the same time. So if you didn't, I know you caught that. As Ted Cruz laid it out, William Barr, upon receiving Bob Mueller's special counsel report, he initially released a four-page summary of the conclusions drawn from the Mueller report. Bob Mueller was preferred for William Barr to release 19 pages of executive summary that he wrote and wrote to William Barr asking him to release that in addition to the four-page conclusions from the report. William Barr, instead of doing that, worked quickly to release the entire 470-plus pages of the Mueller report to the American public. Which, by the way, if you're not aware, that William Barr worked along with Bob Mueller to compile what could be released publicly. And that included the 19 pages that Bob Mueller wanted released originally. So why are we talking about this? They're demanding, oh, William Barr needs to resign. He's hiding information from the American people. What information is he hiding? This is why I tell you guys, and Brian coined this phrase, and I've adopted it because it's so accurate. This is why I tell you that it is the talking snake media. The talking snake media. Because the Washington Post received a leaked letter, which clearly came from somebody on the Mueller team, of Bob Mueller complaining about the public not getting 19 pages that had already been released to the public. This letter was not newsworthy in any event. Why was it not newsworthy? Because it was mooted by the fact that the 19 pages that Bob Mueller wanted released had already been released to the American public. You don't have to ask yourself whether or not the 19 pages were released to the American public because you can read it. William Barr posted the entire 470-plus pages on the Department of Justice's website and sent the entire 470-plus pages to every media outlet in the country. So why is that letter news? I'll tell you why. Because the talking snakes are the propaganda arm of regressivism globally, of international regressivism. And they are doing their job to continue providing media coverage for what has clearly morphed into a 2020 election campaign strategy to continue the demonization of Donald Trump. If you want to know what is going to be the appeal to defeat President Trump in the 2020 election, here it is. Hashtag Orange Man Bad. That's it, folks. That's it. It's literally much ado about nothing. That's like me sending Jason an email, and then Marty comes in and gets the email and publishes the email publicly. And then Marty complains to Jeff, man, why didn't Jason publish that email? Everybody already has the email. Everybody has it. The thing that's so galling to me, you know, y'all just have to excuse me for a minute. Sometimes I forget I'm on the radio when I say these kind of things. But these people think we're stupid. The fact that they have so little appreciation for the intellectual acuity of the American public to where they would do something like that, as blatantly and boldly as they would do it, is a clear indication that they think at least a significant component of the American people are just dull. We don't know. We don't know anything. They'll just do this and say, "Oh, this is newsworthy. Did you see Bob Mueller wanted them to release the 19 pages?" And like, wait. But haven't the 19 pages already been released? I mean, at the time that they're publishing this in their print outlets, the Washington Post published it last night. The New York Times published it last night and this morning. At the time that both of those publications published this letter, the thing that they were complaining about was already publicly accessible. And they wonder why their viewership is going down. You know, CNN, and they didn't do this in particular, but they're talking about it on their network. CNN coming in 26th in cable news rankings. People are wondering why. You know, it's just, this is just so insulting and infuriating and exhausting because it's so blatant. For anybody who wants to see what's going on, you can see it. But there's some people that are so invested in the hashtag Orange Man Bad campaign initiative that they're going to hop onto it.
See, I knew it. William Barr, he was working for Trump. William Barr is in the Trump camp. William, he's not a neutral and detached arbiter of the facts.
I mean, U.S. Senator Mazie Hirono said the exact thing in a hearing today. She's literally said that.
Oh, you're just working for Trump.
I like these people. Ridiculi, I tell you. Ridiculi. Now, something that I think is newsworthy. Well, man, this time runs so fast. Something that I think that is newsworthy that you probably won't hear any of the Talking Snakes talk about. In an exchange with Senator John Cornyn, A.G. Barr was asked, quote, this is Senator Cornyn, "Can we state with confidence that the Steele dossier was not part of the Russian disinformation campaign?" End quote. Now he's asking, can we conclude with confidence that the Steele dossier, which literally is the corpus of the FISA investigation that led to the spying the whole nine yards, can we confidently say that this was not part of the Russian disinformation campaign? Look what A.G. Barr responded, quote, "No, I can't state that with confidence. And that is one of the areas that I am reviewing. I'm concerned about it, and I don't think it's entirely speculative." Well, now this follows him previously testifying before Congress that he knows that spying was done on the Trump campaign. But the Talking Snake media won't tell you that. Now, they've been screaming about Russia, Russia, Russia for how long? And now A.G. Barr is saying that it looks like whoever got this Steele dossier going on were the real ones colluding with Russia to get this dossier. But who's talking about that? Nobody. Even more. Give you a little more. This will be a little audio before we hit this break here. Senator Chuck Grassley asked A.G. Barr as to whether or not there were investigations into all of the leaking that was going on in the early days of the Trump administration. And look at how A.G. Barr responded. It's clip number one.
What are you doing to investigate unauthorized media contacts by the department and FBI officials during the Russian investigation?
We have multiple criminal leak investigations underway.
Oh, multiple criminal leak investigations underway. Now, when was the last time you heard about that being reported by the Talking Snakes? So we know that there are multiple things going on that are currently being investigated by Attorney General William Barr right now. One, was the Steele dossier a part of a disinformation campaign? Two, were these leaks of classified information criminal? Kind of sounds like some of the things I've been saying right here on this program that needed to be investigated are being investigated. But if you relied on the Talking Snakes, you wouldn't know anything about that. All you would know is that William Barr was asked by Bob Mueller to publish 19 pages of executive summary that was published by William Barr, but yet they want to make you believe that William Barr was trying to hide something from you. What is it that Talking Snakes do again? Oh, I know what it is. They take factual information and manipulate it in order to achieve a desired outcome. On the other side of the break, we'll take your phone calls. If you want to join the conversation, the number to call is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. That number again is 888-589-8840. We'll delve into this with you if you would like to comment on what's going on here on the Hamilton Corner.
A call to action from American Family Radio.
There's all kind of difficulty in the world. But as the Word of God says, if your brother's in need and you have it within your ability to respond to their need, how can you claim to have love if you allow them to go without? What greater need is there than the need to live? I know life is rough, but it don't have nothing to do with the baby. Don't kill the baby. Don't wait for preborn campaigns. Don't wait for legislation to be passed in your state legislature. Don't wait till Roe versus Wade is overturned. Respond now. I believe with everything in me that we can end this scourge regardless of what they do in the halls of Congress and the halls of the state legislature. Every single family, every single church, go to the local abortion clinics. Let them know that you have people in your churches, people in your family that are willing to take the babies home. They have families that have been dying to take a child home. Don't kill the babies.
Visit AFR.net.
Only two religions. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. Jewish radio host Dennis Prager and Christian pastor Alistair Begg recently took part in an event to discuss theological issues. Their interchange made clear that all religions, including some Christian ones, are based on man earning favor through doing good works. Only biblical Christianity is based on Christ earning favor for us through his work on the cross. It's the difference that makes all the difference. Romans 4 says, "Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness." Hear more at thechristianworldview.org and then join us this weekend for part two.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. Taking God out of the oath. That story coming up. Democrats in Massachusetts want to take God out of the oath of office. State Representative Mindy Dom, a Democrat from Amherst, introduced a bill to amend the state constitution. Instead of saying, "So help me God," elected leaders would say, "This I do," under the pains and penalties of perjury. The measure has already been approved by a legislative committee, and Bay State atheists are overjoyed. They believe an oath to God violates the Establishment Clause. Democrats are also making the oath gender neutral. The pronoun he would be replaced with they. Republicans and conservatives are dumbfounded, calling it a cynical attempt to erase the state's rich legacy of faith. It should also be noted congressional Democrats tried to pull a similar stunt earlier this year, but were unsuccessful. Divine intervention, perhaps? I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. We will open the phone lines this segment, so if you would like to join the program, you are welcome to do so. What do you think? Do you think I'm off in my assessment that the Talking Snake Media is basically doing its job as the public relations arm of the Orange Man Bad 2020 election campaign strategy by focusing all this attention and attempting to assert that Bob, I keep calling him Bob. You know what? Because his name is Barr. It was a bar fight in the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee today. Bar fight. Get it? Yeah, I know it's corny. That wasn't mine. I saw it on the television. I didn't make that up. But what do you think I am accurate? Do you think I'm overblowing it? Do you think I'm underselling it? What is your reaction to my assertion that the media really is doing its job, providing media cover, you know, like air cover for a ground strike, providing media cover for this, you know, nothing other than it's just a resist Trump campaign strategy, because they have to keep the imprimatur of an official investigation to make it seem like their resist Trump political strategy is more than a mere political strategy. They have to make it seem like, oh, there are investigations underway. The determination as to whether or not the president is a criminal is still not yet decided. And so that forms the basis for their continued assertions that will ultimately be nothing more than an effort to unseat the president. I've said it numerous times on this program. The moment that Michael Cohen's office was raided, I knew at that very moment Mueller had nothing criminal on President Trump. It was all going to be used for political purposes. And here we are. That was, what, 6-7 months ago? Here we are, 6-7 months later, when that is exactly what is happening, where the House of Representatives and the newly minted majority on the various committees are using their authority to do nothing other than to do opposition political campaign research and to get a foundation to further advance their resist Trump narrative, because none of it is substantial. I mean, think about it for a moment. An investigation, and you have to remember that this whole scenario started before President Trump was inaugurated. This started back in 2016. In 2016, in July of 2016. So we're talking about almost 3 years of criminal investigation with the full scope of the resources of the Department of Justice, where you had unlimited budgets, unlimited criminal investigators, 40, 50 FBI agents and lawyers, 500 interviews, you name it. Here's the question. Do you think Hillary Clinton would have been able to survive a 3-year inquiry like that with nothing criminal being discovered? Do you think Barack Hussein Obama would have been able to survive a 3-year inquiry like that with no criminal conclusions arrived at? And I'm telling you, I really think these people are making their own beds that they're not going to want to sleep in, and they're going to show up. I mean, you thought you saw tears in 2016. I'm going to tell you right now, President Trump is going to win the 2020 election. He's going to win because these people aren't helping themselves. You have those who are dyed-in-the-wool regressives that no matter what happens, they're going to support the Democratic candidate. But you have some people in the country, and you also have those who are part of President Trump's base. But then you have some who are in the middle. Some of them are kind of waking up and yawning and coming up and realizing, wait a minute. Now, how long have we been talking about collusion? And Mueller was going to get the goods, and Adam Schiff said he had the goods on Trump. And we finally got the end result, and nothing criminal is there? What is the House of Representatives going to find that Bob Mueller didn't find? It's another question. What can they do with what they find? Because William Barr is the Attorney General. The Department of Justice would have to lobby any criminal investigations or charges. Only thing they can do is do things for political purposes. And I think that some, not everybody, but many, I'll say it that way, many of the American public who might have been in the middle on Trump are going to realize, I don't know how many politicians could have survived a 3-year investigation and come out with nothing. That's what I think. I'd like to hear what you think. Before we get to the phone lines, let me mention this to you. You thought she was going away, huh? That's not like juvenile. You thought she wasn't going to be able to play, huh? But I got something to say, huh? Cecile Richards. If you've been listening to the program, you know I unaffectionately refer to her as the Adolf Hitler of the amniotic sac. That's Cecile Richards. That's what I call her. The former president and CEO of Planned Murderhood. Well, Cecile Richards has now joined forces with Alicia Garza, one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter, and Ai Jin Poo, that's her real name, director of National Domestic Workers Alliance, and they are creating a new political action group called the Supermajority, where they are seeking a new deal for gender equality. The goal of this new group is to teach 2 million women how to engage in political activism. And when I saw this, I just thought, man, isn't this, do we need much more evidence that these people who support Black Lives Matter, they really don't care about Black Lives Mattering in the womb? Because if you really think Black Lives Matter, why would you work with Adolf Hitler of the amniotic sac? As if you don't know in 2015 and 2016 that there were more children who looked like me and my children who were murdered in New York City than who were born alive? Like, you don't know that? You don't know that? You don't know 70%+ of the planned murderhood facilities are in inner city and urban communities? Like, you don't know that? As if you don't know about the Negro Project and the letter that Margaret Sanger wrote to Gamble, the founder of the Procter & Gamble Enterprise, one of the co-founders, to where they literally sought to exterminate the population of melanated people in the country? But Gamble and Sanger wanted to keep it quiet and say, shh, this is what we need to do. We need to hire some of the preachers in their communities so that when the more rebellious of their communities, who you know who won't go along with the systematic genocide of the people, when the more rebellious try to get out of the line, those preachers can get them in line. Like, you don't know that? Yet, one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter has no problem partnering with the Adolf Hitler of the amniotic sac. No, I have to tell you, this is how they describe their objectives. This group, the supermajority group, will emphasize the intersection of issues affecting different racial and socioeconomic groups in the U.S. Richards and Poo told this to BuzzFeed. In collaboration with its separate education division, Supermajority will train women on how to participate in politics and activism in their communities, both online and on the ground. Another example, Black Lives Matter. They should matter in the womb, I would think. But the lack of care about what's going on with the babies, y'all heard me say don't kill the babies, kind of tells the truth about what's going on. And while I'm on this subject, I didn't plan on talking about this, but I wanted to let some time go before I discuss this. Did you see anybody in Black Lives Matter marching following their rapper Nipsey Hussle getting killed? I still haven't seen any Black Lives Matter protests on that. You know, and a lot of people were upset about his murder. But it seems like they only care, Black Lives Matter only cares about people with melanin, who have a higher melanin content in their skin, being murdered if it's at the hands of a politically acceptable narrative of a police officer, which hardly ever happens. But thousands. Recent statistics from the FBI in 2017, you had nearly 8,000 people who were murdered. 90% of them murdered at the hands of other people with the same skin color. But nobody's marching about that. That's why I'm telling you, man, check your emotions. You know the phrase, facts don't care about your feelings. If you really are trying to stop the murder of people who look like me, you probably should go to the source that's most frequent, don't you think? The most frequent source of killing people who look like me is abortion. But y'all don't want to talk about that. Miss me with your political fanfare. To the phone lines we go. We'll start in Ohio with Joe. Joe, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
All right. Thanks for all you do, Mr. Hamilton. You've hit the nail right on the head with everything you've said. The liberals and the liberal media are just trying to distract American voters from the obvious. We've got the best economy we've had in 50 years. We've got a major, major crisis on our southern border. The real corruption was with the Clinton Foundation and the Clinton administration and the Justice Department. That was the real corruption. And then go on and on. The stock market's highest it's been in 50 years. This is just a smokescreen to try to distract American voters from what's really happening. So keep shining the light on it, and God bless you.
Thank you for your call and your comments, Joe. Thank you very much. We'll go next to Texas, where Shonda is on the line. Shonda, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much, Brother Abraham. I just love your show. I want to tell you that, and I'm so grateful and thankful for you for opening my heart and mind every day. But to get to your thing, I think I think the left is scared. Like, what's William Barr going to do? What does he have on them that they're trying to get disinformation out to the public, you know, being all irate and up in airs, you know, just everything like, oh, my gosh, get him this far, get him out of here, whatever, you know? Like, what do they have on him?
I think you're right, Shonda. And I think that was made evident in the previous congressional hearing that William Barr testified in, where Congresswoman Cindy Sheehan from the Northwest, it seemed like he was shocked to hear that William Barr was turning his attention to investigate the genesis of the collusion investigation and things of that nature. When she said, well, why would you do that? It was almost as if she was like, wait a minute now. We've invested all of this time and energy and momentum to get the DOJ to do some investigations, but we didn't expect it to turn into looking at this kind of stuff. Why would you do that? And I think you're right. It is my opinion. Now, this is just my opinion, but it is my opinion that the collusion delusion took on the size that it did because a bunch of these FBI and DOJ actors got caught with their hands in the cookie jar, and they now realize, ruh-roh, the insurance policy that we took out, we may have to use it. And so it took on the size and scope that it did because now they're trying to cover their tracks. You know, I learned a long time ago, when you tell a lie, you end up having to tell multiple lies to cover up the first lie. Then you end up having a whole big old lie pie. Because your lie pie started with your original lie crumbs. And that's what I think is happening. And so when you say that these people are afraid, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. We'll stay in Texas. We'll go next to Rosemary, who's calling from Texas. Rosemary, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Brother Hamilton. Bless you. Listen, Attorney General Barr is cool, calm, and collected. That's all he got to do. And they are scared. They are scared. Now, this is another thing. The people, the American people, as myself, I'm a Christian black conservative, been there for years. But we don't want to know all this other little stuff that's been redacted. What we want to know now from Attorney General Barr is who's going to be arrested, who's going to be prosecuted, who's going to be charged, and who's going to get them out, and when we're going to get them out of there.
Well,
and this is another reason.
You're right. Rosemary, I think you're right. Rosemary, putting them in line. You're right. I think the American people are waiting to see this. And I think it's critically necessary for the balance of our nation to preserve an appropriate esteem and respect for the criminal justice process, because for far too long we have seen this two-tier justice system. And so I think it would bode well for the morale of our republic, our constitutional republic, to see that these people, no matter what position, no matter what standing or whatever they have in the country, that they are held accountable. So I think you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. We'll go next to Oklahoma, where Matthew is on the line. Matthew, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you, sir. I appreciate all you do. And I was just going to say, one of the things I've been praying off and on is that the Lord will reveal what's been going on in the dark, in the light. Mm. Shout it from the roof, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, when the FBI frees blatant incrimination, which is what they've been doing, a lot of people, they lose faith in the system, and they're also just frustrated. So I was just going to ask you what you think. You know, what do you think would happen if they actually did investigate everything from Benghazi to Uranium One to you name it?
Yeah.
And they,
well, I'll tell you this. I don't think they're going to go as far back as to Benghazi and Uranium One necessarily, at least as far as what we know now. I think we have enough information to know now that the genesis of this, the Steele dossier and the fallout of those events are being investigated. Now, whether or not they go as far back into Benghazi, I really don't think that they're going to do that. I honestly don't think so. Now, if they were to do so, I think they would find wrongdoing on multiple fronts, but I really don't expect them to go that far back. We'll try to squeeze some more callers in. We'll go next to Arkansas, where Steve is on the line. Steve, welcome to the program. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Brother Abraham. I appreciate your show, and I love the fact that you tell us the truth every day. You made a comment about the talking snake media being the propaganda arm of the Democrat Party, and I absolutely agree with you on that. I think that the talking snake media is simply trying to generate as much smoke for the Democrats as possible to cover up their true motives, that they have nothing other than socialism. They are trying to force a socialist revolution on America against the will of the people as they attempt to undermine the authority of our Constitution and destroy it utterly, which is why they're so focused on the Mueller investigation and keeping it going. You know, the media is trying to make it seem like this isn't over. It'll never be over. It'll always keep going, just to cover up the fact that the Democrats are undermining our government at every opportunity, which is, and you can weigh in on this, I think part of the reason the Mueller investigation took 2 years to find nothing was that they were making sure that anything that could be found that incriminated any of the Democrats, including former President Obama and Hillary Clinton, was destroyed completely and could never be found.
Got to leave it there, Steve. I think you're absolutely right that they're attempting to generate as much smoke as possible, because that deflection and distraction is what they hope to allow for the entree of a socialist America. I think you're spot on, my man.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.